This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold. I hit it hard,
man. And good morning on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. First time here in 2019. Great to be with all of you. Charlie, good to see you again.
Alex is good as gold.
And there you go. There you go.
Happy
I know we were
New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. And I, you know what's great about it, not only is it just Happy New Year, but we actually have tournament play to talk about here. We actually have golf, actual real golf to discuss on the show as the season got really going the last 2 days. That's fun. I'm glad we finally have that going for us.
Yes, it's the wraparound season. It starts in October, and we're going to end in August. They've got some fun things planned on the schedule, which I think is improving the game. They don't want to compete with football, which is very smart.
Big weekend.
But, yeah, it's going to, you know, it's going to be a fun season.
I know our producer, Jacob Payne, across the glass. He's got his Texans gear on. For those based in Houston, of course, we're here locally on SportsVap 94.1.
And it's a Texans golf shirt.
Ah, okay.
So the illusion is complete.
you look good, Jacob.
So do you, sir.
Thank you.
You got that. And I guess I'm okay over here. Thank you, Jacob. I got the Chiefs shirt on today. We're good. You look relaxed. But thanks to those listening locally in Houston on SportsMap 94.1 and, of course, nationally on SB Nation Radio. Bill Harmon's going to join us in a little bit as well. We'll find out how things went for him over the break and into the new year. A lot to get to, Charlie, on the show today. Of course, we'll give some of our thoughts on the Century Tournament of Champions, and we were talking off air about a few things. I wanted to get your thoughts and share with some people, just not only moments that have stood out, but just kind of the atmosphere at that course and the atmosphere for this tournament. It's not your normal setup.
No, it's a holiday with your family. Most of the players take their families or their coaches over there, and they eat a lot of sushi and hang out down at the bar, and they go fishing, and it's a great way to start your new year. Kapalua is beautiful.
I was going to say, some of the shots that they have shown from above the course have been just incredible. We're going to talk about the Century Tournament of Champions to get started here in 2019. Look at the leaderboard, players to watch, and find out if you're a fan or not of these in-round tournaments with the golfers that some of them not too happy about.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Just getting started here in 2019. Charlie Epps in studio with me. And I also welcome in Bill Harmon for the first time here in 2019. Bill, good morning. Great to have you with us.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's everybody doing?
You know, Bill, it's going to be a good year for golf. I'm doing pretty good. We had a good holiday season, if you want to call it that. Christmas and New Year's has gone, and getting back to normal. The action over across the pond is pretty good. Interesting, a few side stories. Rory, of course, is making some news about his decisions. He says one thing, and then he goes back and changes his mind. But now he's going to play more on the American Tour.
Yeah, I was interested that it's funny to me. Rory's never been by nature a great links course player, Charlie. And even as a young man, he mentioned that he always enjoyed playing over here in better weather and kind of like the game through the air a little bit better. Rory, to me, kind of says what he's feeling and thinking, which I appreciate. Whether I agree or disagree with it doesn't really make any difference, because I think we sometimes get on these athletes for not coming up with very interesting answers. But reading between the lines, to me, I just think that he wants to live here and he wants to play here is what I get out of the whole thing. And I was going to reduce it to a couple things, but I just think he enjoys the lifestyle in America. He enjoys the weather. Enjoys where he lives in Florida. and he enjoys the conditions of the courses here. He enjoys the way the tour treats everybody. And I think what he's really saying is he likes the PGA Tour more than the European Tour. That's what I get out of it.
Well, it's really a misnomer. It's not a European Tour anymore. It's a world tour that the only place they don't play is the United States. They play a lot over in Asia and South Africa, and it's a lot of travel, and it's more convenient here, more world points for their ranking, and the ranking dictates how much their contracts are paid. Say if he has got a great contract with Nike, but it's also predetermined on, okay, now if you're number one, you're going to get this. If you're number 25, you're going to, you know, it goes down. So they're independent contractors, Alex. They're not bound by anything except a few rules, so they can do what they want.
I thought, Bill, I agree
with you. There's a lot more players coming to play over here than players going to play over there.
For sure, yeah, no question. And I thought you brought up a good point. You're right about athletes and just what they say, right? We do jump on athletes when they don't give us enough, right? When we say, hey, they don't open up, they don't let us behind the curtain at all. And then when they do, yeah, people get upset. So I could not agree more with you about that comment.
Yeah, I just think Rory, says what he's thinking at times, and it might rub a couple people the wrong way, but I admire the fact that he tells it the way he sees it, and if we don't like that, then we shouldn't complain about the vanilla answers we get from certain athletes, you know, where they don't give you anything, basically, except stock answers. So, but I think, along with Charlie's lines, everything about the PGA Tour is superior to any other tour in the world, and living here is pretty good too. So I just think he doesn't really enjoy the European Tour as much. He probably, the players aren't treated probably as good, the courses aren't as good, the conditions aren't as good, nothing's as good. So there's a reason why a lot of these top foreign players choose to play over here and really only play overseas, Charlie, as you know, for appearance money.
Yes, that's exactly right.
They're not going over there just to play. They're going over there because they're getting paid to play. And he kind of said that.
Yep.
Didn't he say that? The appearance money is good.
Does. But see, they only pay about four or five of the top players. And after that, you know, the European Tour doesn't have the money that the U.S. Tour has. But we'll save that for another day. But looking at the scoreboard for this Tournament of Champions, it's a unique tournament. It's more of a holiday, and you take your family over there. I've been able to go over there a few times with Ankel, but the name that's right there in front of everybody is DeChambeau. How about this guy, Bill?
Well, you know, all he does is keep performing. You know, and now he's really shedding light on keeping the pin in. And the more the more it might make a little more sense to me, because I don't know this for a fact, because I've never had like putting with the pin in, but that was maybe closed-minded on my part. But, Charlie, I wonder if it helps the player's depth perception.
It definitely does, Bill, and I'll be the first to, you know, I grew up playing in the 50s, and in Argentina, 58, 59, 60, it was permissible to putt with the pin in. I mean, it was, and there were people that liked to do it, people that weren't. But now the pins are, you know, are made of materials where they kind of, you know, deaden the hit. So whatever, but it does help from 30, 40, 50 feet, especially, you know, it's going to speed up play because you can get on the green and just hit it without having to go get it out of the hole.
Doing it now with short putts, which is interesting. And I wonder, you know, I'm looking forward to maybe the end of this year or next year, and someone will come out with some definitive data. I think Chambly said that Dave Pelz has tested this, and it actually is an advantage to keep it in. And the more I watch it and the more I think about it, maybe it keeps putts from lipping out, Charlie, that might not go in. So I'll be very interested to see how many people start adopting what DeChambeau is doing. As you know, change doesn't always come easily in golf and with people by nature. So I'm going to be very intrigued here in 2019 to see how many people actually go to the pin staying in on shorter putts, because I've seen him do it on 5 and 6 footers.
I think,
I'm very intrigued by it, I must say. I'm very intrigued by him, and I'm very intrigued by one more thing that he's doing here, experimenting, putting with the pin in, because he seems like the only one doing it this week that I've seen anyway.
You know, and as far as Dave Pell's, you know, doing the statistics and all that, that's not going to tell us anything. What's going to tell us is real play under real conditions on what happens. So we'll have to wait, you know, 30 tournaments to see what the advantage or disadvantages are. And just wait till the first time a guy hits a putt and the ball hits the pin and jumps out. Now, you know.
I agree, but maybe what we see when the ball goes in, maybe what it doesn't tell us is maybe the putt that would have lipped out kind of gets lodged between the pin and the hole when it goes in. So I'm reserving judgment on it, but I'm very interested by it. I'm going to start fooling with it myself and start putting with the pin in. And I should hear Toscana that they have a tournament, a one-day tournament where you have to putt with the pin in just to see if it speeds up play and if it really does have a negative. I don't see how it could possibly have a negative effect on the amateur golfers.
Well, it gives you a little more of a precise target. It narrows the hole even more if it helps your aiming. But the bottom line is it's going to be a interesting thing. I don't know if they're going to do that at the Masters, Bill.
That I don't know. I would imagine they normally are governed by USGA rules, right?
If you gut reaction, as of course Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio, along with Bill Harmon, and what you guys say, we got to, you know, time will tell exactly maybe if this is something that's a trend or just a fad. What right now, what would your gut reaction be? Do you think this is something we are talking about 2 years from now, though, that it is still something people are going to do, or do you think it is kind of just a trend right now?
Well, it needs time. It needs 30 tournaments, thousands of putts to really know exactly what's going on. You know, how many guys in the NBA hit it off of the backboard anymore? You know, they tune their stroke to the rim of the cup or the rim of the basket.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bill, I think it's here to stay, but it might start the word, you know, bifurcation. We're going to need rules for the professional game and rules for the club pro.
For the club pro or the amateur?
Well, yeah, the club pro at your clubs. At how are you going to regulate your
well, I
your
think
terms?
We're obviously more people using the pin because the previous rules nobody could use it.
Right.
I think we're going to see more people use it, Alex. I think it's going to get some traction as the year goes on, and I think you're going to see more and more people using the pin on different putts. I think right now, you know, it takes a guy like DeChambeau to make the change because he marches to his own beat, which is good, by the way. I like that, and I admire him for it. But I think, I don't know, I think more people are going to at least experiment with it. And my initial feeling is that it has to help your depth perception, having that extra target up there to see. So I'm very intrigued by it. I'm going to actually start fooling with it myself and see if I can see any difference. You know, maybe I'll be more accurate with a different target to look at.
We'll take a deeper look at the leaderboard of the Century Tournament of Champions coming up next on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
This is at the fifth. DeChambeau for birdie with the flag stick in, which he's done all day. And gets it to go.
Back into the green here and go ahead and give it a good rip. This looks good.
He sure did.
Wow.
And success again. It'd be interesting to talk to him and find out all the reasons why he's left the Flagstick in today, which, of course, you can do with the new rules.
And we were talking about leaving the Flagstick in. The call there on the Golf Channel. First two rounds of the Century Tournament of Champions back in here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Charlie Epps, of course, Bill Harmon, and myself, Alex Gold, with you here on a Saturday morning on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston on Sports Map 94.1. And I asked you during the break, and maybe it's something for the casual golf fan as well, is here we are saying, you know, maybe the advantages of having the flag stick in, but what was the decision behind the rule change to begin with?
Well, it's all about speeding up the game, making it a little quicker. And there's definitely a lot of time wasted, people going to pull out the pin when you got a 90-foot putt and you're on the green. The guy's afraid he's going to get penalized. So I think that addition for normal golf, meaning the average go, is going to help a lot. Whether it helps the tour, I don't know, because they always have caddies that tend the pin, Bill. How many times did you tend the pill, the pin? So it's mainly just to speed the game up, is it not?
Yeah, I would think so. And I guess once again, to me, the jury is out on it. But I can't, at the moment, just watching DeChambeau, my mind has changed quite a bit on it. I used to like to think that there was more room in the hole without a pin. But, I think on the amateur level, on the country club and the public course level, we'll have to speed up play. But I'm more interested, to be honest with you, to see if it makes people putt better. That's where I'm intrigued by it. Because DeChambeau's not going to do it if it makes them putt worse. That's
sure.
All. So you're not going to make a change like that to get worse.
Now look at the leaderboard. We mentioned DeChambeau there, tied for second at 9-under. And then you look atop the leaderboard, though, Gary Woodland, 12-under, a three-stroke lead through two rounds. I'm a little biased on this one, Gary Woodland being the KU grad there. Your thoughts on what we've seen from the rest of the field there in the top five? Of course, Rory, everybody wondering if he's going to bounce back here in 2019, and at least through the first two rounds, not too shabby, huh?
Well, the big guy that looks out, had a great year last year, Leachman, the Australian, great wind player, and his game has really come about in the last couple years. He's won and he's playing very, very well. He's got to be one of the favorites on the weekends. And Bill, your man's there, right? Number tied for six, the X-Man.
Yeah, he's my guy. But I think Gary Woodland's an interesting guy too, because he has enormous ability. He's a wonderful athlete. Hasn't won a lot of tournaments, so Charlie, I don't think by nature he's a great putter. I know he's worked with Phil Kenyon and he's improving quite a bit there, but some people have to really work at putting, and I think he's one of those guys that has to really work at it. So I'm going to be interested to see how he plays this weekend, because Gary's the type of guy that gets in there quite a bit over the years, has not finished off some of the tournaments, so enormous ability, obviously a very long hitter, and got a good golf swing, works with my brother Butch, and Butch says he's the most receptive student he's ever had, and he attributes that to Gary was a great athlete, and he's always had coaches in other sports, and he enjoys being coached. He enjoys having a teacher tell him what to do, and he's very receptive to coaching. So, or are we going to have DeChambeau, Charlie, win for the fifth time in less than a 12-month period? So a lot of good storylines. I think the golfing public would probably like to see Rory win, and let's throw him back into the mix as running for the number one player in the world, because he's definitely got number one ability.
Well, one of the rookies that we have to watch for every week, and only because he hits it so far, and it seems that the distance is really, really an advantage on the PGA Tour today. But Cameron Champ is right there, tied for six also, and he's proven that he can hit the ball as good as anybody. He's still got to beat somebody, but I really like his golf swing. I mean, his golf swing to me looks pretty darn good.
Yeah, Well, he's right there, and he's thrown away a bunch of shots. He's hit a couple of errant drives that have cost him. So I would say Cameron Champ's upside, if he was a stock on the trading on the stock market, I'd be buying it. So I see nothing but good things coming from him, and he seems to be a level-headed kid. Got a little bit of fire. I saw him get a little bit upset yesterday. He kind of chili-dipped a chip on about 15, and he got a little bit upset, but I don't mind that. I think getting upset and having a little bit of fire is a good thing. So I think he might be the most intriguing story moving forward of 2019, because when you think of the ability of some of these players that we have on tour, and they're now talking about him as having more ability than them, that is really, really some statement. So I'm very intrigued by how he's going to turn out.
Here's what Gary Woodland had to say. This was after his second round yesterday.
It was nice to see the chip go in there on 11. I hit a good shot in there, just rolled off. But that kind of got me going. I've been hitting good shots all day, just hadn't seen anything go in. The wind kind of, to be honest with you, has got to me. I just, putting-wise, I've hit a lot of good shots, just haven't got, the wind's kind of messed with me on the greens a little bit. So it was nice to see that chip go in. And then made a couple good shots in there, a couple short putts, which was nice. I would like to see that last one go in, but I'm pretty good where I'm at.
Charlie, you've been at that course. I mean, wind-wise, what I mean, just the setup there, how huge of a factor is that?
Oh, the wind is incredible. I mean, it's you know, it's always going at 20 miles an hour. Then it gets up to 30, 40 miles an hour, and the players handle it really well because all of these good players hit the ball so solid. The average guy goes out there, and if you're hitting a slice, I mean, it's just going to eat it up, Bill. Like, but the conditions are, you know, and the golf course is a unique golf course in that Bill Coore and Crenshaw designed it because of the wind, and they put it on the side of a hill, so you have fairways that are 50, 60, 70 yards wide. Because certain times, I mean, there's just with the wind that, and it's on a hill and it's going downhill. There's holes that you're going to average drive is going to be 330, and then the same drive going uphill is going to be 280. Mm. But so it's a challenging. It's a challenge. It doesn't hurt these players too much because they shoot 30 under, Bill. I mean, it's lights out, even with the putting being as difficult as it is because of the grain and being on the hill. It's amazing how many under par these guys go.
Well, you know, there's, I think I heard them say yesterday, there's a couple fairways that are 90 yards wide. And so you give these bombers that kind of fairways, and I know they're slanted and tilted, and there's a lot of wind and stuff, but these guys not only are long, many of them are pretty straight drivers, so yeah, they shoot zero on this course, and they tend to shoot zero anywhere, unless you tighten it up and grow a lot of rough and have hard, fast greens. It won't make any difference how long a golf course is for these players anymore. The only way you can rein the scoring is a little bit is tight fairways and heavy rough and hard fast greens. But other than that, I don't care where they go, they're going to shoot low.
Interesting note, the average winning score there the last 3 years has been 20 under. So the winds definitely wreaking some havoc there and maybe playing a little defense right now out on the golf course. We'll continue talking about this throughout the show here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Also, I wanted to get both of your guys' thoughts on something the PGA Tour is considering experimenting with when it comes to mid-round interviews here in 2019. As a golfer, there's already some high-profile golfers out there saying, yeah, this is not something they want any part of. Plus, Patrick Reed, the Masters menu, he's already let us know a little bit about what that is, and Charlie's players to watch for 2019. That's SB Nation Radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Hanging out here on a Saturday morning on SB Nation Radio, locally in Houston on SportsMap 94.1. Of course, Charlie Epps Golf Hour and our friends over at Inspirity.
Yes, a great company, a great local company. Alex, they've started in 1986 and created a company that really can help inspire small business performance, help the people that have their own businesses that need a lot of help with payroll, but just have a partner, just have somebody. It's just kind of like that professional golfer has a great caddy. I mean, that caddy is really important to that person. Well, a good company like Insperity that has all the professionals that know the inside out of government regulations, of taxes, of medical insurance, and today and trying to make money, you have to save money, and they can show you ways that you can save money. But also what it does, it allows the person that owns that business to really go out and do what they do best, and is probably sell. So Insperity, log on to Insperity.com and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Now that we are in 2019, Charlie, Bill, I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on New Year's resolutions. Everybody does it, but what about for golf? I saw PGA Tour actually tweeted this out. They went around and asked some of the golfers at this tournament, and they gave a lot of cliche answers, right, about their golf game maybe. But for you guys, for the sport of golf, what is a New Year's, part of your New Year's resolution here in 2019?
Well, I'm representing the senior golfer, and at the age of 74 going to 75, I'm not going to procrastinate anymore. I'm going to go out and play and enjoy it and hit some good shots. Hopefully, I might be able to improve a little. But Billy, the thing that's really hurting me is I've never had a problem with distance, and now all of a sudden distance is my main enemy. What do you recommend?
Well, Charlie, how old are you now?
74.
Well, there's no 74-year-old sprinters in the Olympics. And there must be a reason for that, that the old body just doesn't respond. So I think that, and I'm older now too, but I can still carry the ball 250 in the air, which is pretty good. I think that as we lose distance, there's really no upside to it emotionally. And we have to redefine our enjoyment in the game. And the enjoyment in the game, to me, has always really been the same, and that's to hit the ball solid and look up and have it go in the general direction in which I intended it to go. So as long as I can do that, I'm pretty good at accepting the fact that Mother Nature is caught up to me. And that I do believe, Charlie, in most cases, not all cases, but in most cases, people that aren't elite players like yourself, the pursuit of distance will ruin their swing. Better players, I think you can get more distance. I was giving a lesson the other day to a guy who's a former tour pro named Tommy Sanderson. Tommy played a little bit in the 60s, and he's 72 now, I think. He's still a one handicap at our club. And we got him 20 yards by taking a bigger hip turn and getting his left knee behind the ball and his left heel up, Charlie. And factually got him 20 yards because we were on a track man. So there are ways to do it. I think it's easier for the good players to do it than it is for the 18 handicappers to do it. But there are ways to pick up some distance, but you don't want to, in the pursuit of distance, start losing solid contact and start hitting it everywhere.
That's right. I'm just going to go up to the white tees. I'm going from the up three tees.
I like that.
Yes. So how about your resolution for the year, Bill?
Well, golf-wise, I've started on a thing in the last couple weeks. I try to hit at least 100 wedges a day. And I try to do it with one club, one wedge, and it could be a different one every day and vary distances and trajectories. And the one thing I found out is I really hit the ball solid when I'm only practicing wedges because I don't care how far they go.
Yeah.
So I'm working on contact. I want solid contactors. what I want, and I want to be able to start the ball where I want to. So those are the two things I'm working on, is solid contact and starting the ball online.
Wonderful. I hope our listeners pay attention to that, because I'm going to.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio. And, you know, so much the theme here, 2019, a lot of what we were talking about, new rules. We've been talking about resolutions, and also something that the PGA Tour is potentially interested in doing. They want to experiment with mid-round interviews starting this year. We've seen the first one or two already happen here this week in rounds one and two of the Century Tournament of Champions. You guys have been around, you know, professional golfers. There's just plenty have already come out and said, yeah, we're really not into this idea. What do you guys think of this?
I can just see Hogan going, somebody come up to him on the third shot on the par five, and Mr. Hogan, how's your day going? He's going to say, get the hell out of here. I'm playing golf. I don't think that's, you know, maybe at the turn, Bill, but not during the round.
No, I don't like it. I think it's corny. And I think they're going to get some real corny answers. And one of these days, this guy's going to leave the interview, and he's going to make a double or triple bogey, and he's never going to talk again to another reporter. I don't find it interesting. I don't think you're going to hear him say much interesting. I don't really like it. I think that the golf course is the player's office, and I think you need to leave him alone. That would be my read on it. I think it's better to have the caddy mic'd and listen into the conversation when the unfiltered conversation of the player and the caddy as they're planning a shot. I like that. But I think, you know, they do those interviews on the Champions Tour, and they're beyond vanilla. You know, they're very described, and I could care less about
it. I just see the announcer stop. Hey, LeBron James, here, stop for a minute. Let's talk about that slam dunk he just, you know, come on.
Now,
I don't know. I'm not interested. But I do like when there's a microphone close to a caddy and a player, is there actually real live TV talking about a shot, and I think that's very beneficial to the viewer. And having caddied myself in over 300 tournaments, I have a pretty good understanding of what goes on in those conversations, and I think those would be much more informative to the viewer than some vanilla, you know, conversation walking off the seventh tee.
To this point, Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy, the two prominent golfers that have said no to the entire idea. Some have said, maybe in this scenario. I think you both bring up fantastic points with it, because we saw during the match, which was obviously a totally different setting, I recognize that, but how that seems so forced, right? When Tiger and Phil were walking even just down to the fairway on the hole one, they were burning through all the topics right away, and then it just seemed forced the rest of the time. I'm with you. I think maybe what's more interesting to people is seeing the true interaction between the golfer and the caddy.
Well, in the sport that we're talking about, golf, and when you're playing for $10 million, I don't care who you are, you're going to start paying attention to your business, and you don't want to be thinking outside the box. You want to stay within your own little cocoon, if you will, and that's, to me, is where it's got to stay. The announcers can get more creative, come up with some better conversation, but like Bill says, the mic on the caddy, where they can hear occasional, you know, shot selections and all that, I think will help the average guy, but also be entertaining.
Yeah, I like the real stuff. I don't like the phony stuff.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio, locally on SportsMap 94.1, of course, Charlie Epps and Bill Harmon. And, you know, I think we've kind of mentioned it a little bit back in 2018, but now that it's actually here, I know, Charlie, you've got a couple players you're keeping an eye on here going forward.
Yeah, I want to track, I just would think what Francisco Molinari did last year was really quite an accomplishment. The champion golfer of the year, he won in the United States. He's, you know, he's a journeyman pro, but he really elevated himself to really a world-class player. Now, can he repeat that? Bill, do you see him repeating what he did, or is that just one of those great years and he'll probably just maybe win one tournament this year?
I see him having a solid year. I don't see him winning a major again. I could be wrong, but he's a very solid player. Seems to be a solid thinker. Got a lot of good things going on, but I don't look at him as being any kind of dominant player personally. But I think he'll have a solid year. I think the guy that I'm intrigued with and most golfers intrigued with is this Cameron Champ. You know, and anytime, Charlie, you know, for years back, 30, 40, 50 years ago, guys like my dad used to say, you know, one of these days, great athletes are going to take up golf and they're going to be able to hit it 400 yards and they're going to change the course of the sport. Well, that happened with the Tiger Woods era and the workout era and all that stuff. And now we have a young kid who, by all accounts, is freakishly long in an era when there are other freakishly long players. And he's long with a pretty darn good golf swing, too. So I think he's going to be the guy, and he seems to have a good head on his shoulders. So I'm very interested to see what he does. He, you know, that distance is, when you're hitting wedge into every hole, boy, golf is pretty easy.
I'm working with two guys right now, Bill. One is a freshman. They're both freshmen in college. You know, they can hit it 330. I mean, their six irons are 200 yards. I mean, it's just incredible now that these kids are more disciplined. They work out. They're very keen on really getting good. But the speed of the game, the speed at which they swing the club, is just I can't believe it. I really can't believe how far these guys hit the ball.
It's depressing. That's what I find. It's very depressing. I don't like it.
So what's going to happen to golfers like Zach Johnson?
Bill Haas said a couple of years ago, he thought in the next 10 years, if he couldn't carry the ball to 20, you'd have a hard time competing. Hmm. And it sounded a little crazy at the time, but he might have a point.
Yeah. Wow. All right, lastly, before we break and take our final break of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, it's always a fun tradition, of course, at the Masters. 2019 Masters, Patrick Reed already let us know what his menu is going to be for the champions' dinner. I'm curious, first of all, what your dinner would be there, Charlie and Bill, but apparently he's going with the bone-in ribeye, mac and cheese, cream spinach, cream corn, and Caesar salad.
You know, that sounds pretty much like Patrick. You know, I would have to go with fried chicken in Georgia, fried chicken some peach cobbler.
Let's go all Southern.
You know, mashed potatoes and gravy. Give me a little, okra or something like that. But fried chicken and you know, my dad grew up in in Georgia, and my grandmother was there, and I always had good fried chicken. And we'd also have great watermelon. I mean, watermelon in Georgia was good. So, Bill, what would you go with?
I hate to tell you that my interest level on this is about the same as it is on the on-course interviews with the players. And I couldn't care less what they're eating there. And I really have no opinion on what the menu should be or shouldn't be. So I can't really give you an answer. It would be so phony that it would be unbelievable.
There you go. I'm fine with
the bottom line is that night, Charlie, and you've been there, you and I, I've had many dinners on Champions Night with Phil Knight, the Nike founder. So I think our dinner is more interesting than their dinner.
Yeah, I mean, I get to be there with Phil Knight and sit right next to Rory's mom and dad and have some nice conversation and all the memories that you bring into the deal. And our good friend, I just went blank on his name, Bill. He was a great player. He's a good friend of yours. He has dinner there with us a couple. He has some
Mike Donald, probably.
Mike Donald. I mean, those guys have great stories. So it's a wonderful, wonderful meal.
All right, we'll wrap things up here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Winding things down here on a Saturday, SB Nation Radio locally in Houston on Sports Map 94.1. So round three action, of course, will get underway a little bit later today in the Century Tournament of Champions. Each of you, real quick, how do you see this playing out over the next 2 days?
I'm going to pick DeChambeau, the scientist. He's going to bring it home.
Come back from three strokes down?
Yeah, he's a hot player. Bill, what are you looking at?
I'm going to go with Gary Woodland, getting it done. I think he's evolving and maturing as a player, starting to understand how good he is. And I think this tournament here with the big wide-open fairways and his length and stuff, I know he and Butch work on a lot of different shots now with irons, so I'm going to go with Gary Woodland to get it done.
I hope that's the case. I'm a big Gary Woodland fan, of course, going back to Kansas as well. All right, good stuff today, guys. Bill, have a good rest of the weekend. Thanks for being with us, as always, everybody out there. We'll be back next Saturday.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You got it. And, of course, next week, I guess we'll be talking a little bit about the Sony Open.
Sony Open.
Yeah, going on in Hawaii. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you later.